You know, I was talking about the respect with which I'd like for us to make sure we approach our God. And just think about how I pointed out that we have a president of the United States who has all this military power at his disposal. But remember, God, too, has all of the militaries at his disposal. But he also has the holy angels who are at his disposal, and the holy angels having far greater power, far greater wisdom than all of this world's military powers. No competition. God is the one who sent the flood. He has so much authority and so much power. He sent a flood that destroyed all the creatures on the earth, all the humans on the earth, with the exception of Noah, his family, and the creatures who God told Noah to bring into the ark, male and female. And he saved all of them because it was his good pleasure to save them. Everyone else he wanted wiped out, he wiped out. We're talking about the person with the greatest power in all the world. We're talking about the one who is going to consume this world by fire at some point in the future, destroying everything that he wants gone, everyone that he wants gone. We're talking about the most powerful person in all of his world. So let's just remember, when we are communicating with God, that we are communicating with the highest. I know some of you are thinking, but hold up now. In Hebrews, we're told to come boldly before the throne of grace. That's true. We are told that. But you have to remember the context. We're talking about a time that was written at a time that people who could request to speak with the king. And if the king was okay having them come into his presence to speak with him, he would let his servants know, okay, bring them on. If he didn't want to hear from that person who was making the request to speak with him, to have an audience with him, he could just reject the person and say no. He could go as extreme as having had the person killed for asking for that audience with the king. And so the writer of Hebrews is letting us know, and see his audience, the people whom he directly wrote to would have understood the context. And so they would understand, oh, okay, so we don't have to be afraid that God might either reject us or even worse, have us killed for asking to speak with him. He won't do that to us. He wants us to come. That's what they mean. And that's why some translations don't use the word boldly, but instead they use the word confidently. Be confident that he wants to hear from you. So it's not about being filled with pride and going arrogantly before the throne of grace. It's about going confidently that our Father, our God, who is also our Father, is more than ready to hear from us because he loves us. Not because he's on our level, but because he loves us. And he knows he has power and authority to do for us whatever it is that he has determined already that he will do. He wants relationship with his children. He wants us to talk with him about the good times. He wants us to talk with him about the worrisome times. He wants us to build a relationship with him, not because he needs us, but because it's beautiful to have beautiful relationships, especially with the creator of relationships. So that said, we're at a point now where we're ready to consistently have the right attitude and the right disposition about communicating with our God. So, what are some of the ways that we communicate with God? Well, let's start by looking at some of the ways that God communicates to us. I had mentioned that I wanted us to begin to look at that. So, and again, remember, it's not a one-sided type of relationship. God will be talking to us, but he also wants us to talk to him. That's why I call it communicating with. There are times when you talk to your wife and she's listening. There are times when your wife talks to you and you're listening. You're communicating with each other. So in order for us to more effectively communicate with our God, we need to understand, we need to be aware of some of the ways that he talks, that he communicates to us. All right, so what are some of those ways? Some of the ways are in visions. He communicates to us also in dreams. On occasion, he communicates to mankind through an audible voice. He communicates to us through video images in our minds. He communicates to us through still pictures in our minds. He communicates to us by sending words, sometimes a word, sometimes phrases, sometimes complete sentences that he literally places in our minds. So, having said that, let's begin to take a look at some of this in a little bit more detail. Visions. The Lord sometimes speaks to us in visions. It's important for us to recognize how the Lord communicates to us, because in order to enter into a conversation with him, we've got to recognize how he's communicating. Otherwise, all we'll be left with is us talking to him. But we've got to know how he's communicating to us, whether he's the one who in this case is initiating the conversation, or in another case, you're the one initiating the conversation. Either way, we need to know how God engages us in the conversation. So visions, which a lot of experts will basically describe as an ability that God gives us to see into the spirit realm while for the time being we don't see what's going on in the natural realm. And I know that can seem so strange. We're so accustomed to seeing what's right there in front of our physical, natural eyes. But when we are connected with God, when God has decided that this is a way, even, and I say when we're connected with God, truth be told, even when we are not necessarily submitted to Christ and therefore are not truly God's children, he has the authority and sometimes has the desire to suspend our ability to see what's going on in the natural realm, the physical realm, so that he can enable us to see with the eyes of our spirits what's going on in the spiritual realm. Back in just a few. Well, hold up. So that's one of the ways that God communicates to us. And when these visions occur, when he gives us these visions, very often what's happening with us, we are wide awake. Wide awake. And that's why I was saying that he will suspend temporarily our ability to see what's going on in the natural realm. Our eyes, our physical eyes, are often wide open. Often wide open. Not always, because sometimes we may be wide awake, but we may have our eyes closed. Often our eyes are wide open and he temporarily suspends our ability to see what's going on in the natural realm and enables our spiritual eyes to see what's happening in the spiritual realm. More on that in just a few.